Hey friends, welcome to The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm your host, Andrea Fortenberry. This is a podcast about finding freedom from perfectionism to show up for the life God has for you. Mom life is messy, unpredictable, and just plain hard sometimes, but it's also amazing. I believe God uses it all to grow us into the women He wants us to be. We can't do motherhood on our own. We need God's help. We need wisdom from other moms. We need the encouragement of community. I hope you'll find all of that and more as you listen in. Welcome to episode 87 of The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. Today I'm sharing my conversation with Laura Haver, author of Play Together, Games and Activities for the Whole Family to Boost Creativity, Connection, and Mindfulness. Laura is obsessed with uncovering the secrets of how to live an unstoppable and joyful life. She is a mom, life coach, author, speaker, and athlete. She has helped hundreds of individuals to experience more play, adventure, growth, and inspiration in their lives and businesses. She has been featured on The Today Show, CBS, Fox, Parents, and more. Laura holds a master's degree in international communication and has been coaching for over 25 years in leadership, life design, and tennis. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. I want you to take it to heart and go out and plan something fun for yourself that gives you the opportunity to play, to enjoy, and just tap into this part of you that I think as moms we sometimes neglect. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Laura. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea. It's so fun to be here. And hello, all the moms out there.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited for your book. I'm super excited to chat about the topic of play. So to start out, will you share with us, what is play? I think we know as moms, but just give us your definition. What is play and what are some of its benefits?
Right. As moms, we see our kids all the time getting into all these things, right? And so when I was writing about it and studying about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make my own definition because why not? But I like to define play as an invitation to do something for yourself for the pure joy of it. And play is a pathway to living a vibrant and fulfilling life. And I feel like as parents, we see that importance of play for our kids, or at least we're more open to it. But then sometimes when it comes to ourselves, we're like, that sounds good. I'll get to that. But first I have like 4 billion things on our list. And then play just sort of is like, I'll get to it, or it's not that important. And so it keeps kind of getting pushed down the line. And that's part of my mission and what I'm up to is to help inspire people of all ages around the world to infuse their lives with play so they can bring that joy and that lightness back, no matter what the circumstances are, right? Because sometimes people think, oh, you know, that's just if your life is going really good. But I challenge people, no matter what's going on, to still look for ways to include even like small play breaks into their day.
I love that. I think we do associate play with children and we forget as we get older that play can benefit us too, that it's not just for kids. So I love that you are bringing more awareness to that.
Yeah. And it's really cool to watch, you know, because I've been doing this for a long time now and like working with my clients one-on-one and in some of the communities I lead, just the difference these small little things can make in the overall quality of your life. Like you wouldn't think that building miniature dollhouses or, you know, going off for walks in the morning with your dog, like these tiny things, you know, and I said this miniature dollhouse example because it's so different for everybody. Like what you find fun might be different than me. And so it's really interesting to dive in and just to see this happen so many times over in people's lives and people's families.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Laura, will you share? We talked about maybe the misconception that play is just for kids, but what are some other common misconceptions that we have around play?
Yeah, we kind of touched on one of them, which is that play is, you know, kind of like a luxury or kind of like a bonus, you know, like, oh, you can get to that. Like, it's not a priority. Like play isn't important enough to work it into your everyday or your weekly routine, right? On a weekly basis. And I think as a result of that, a lot of people are left feeling kind of this like tiredness, this sort of emptiness, kind of like, what's the point? You know, like we kind of turn into robots. Like you're just going through the motions, making dinner, making snacks, taking the kids there, doing this, like doing your job, you know, doing the laundry. Oh my gosh, the laundry, it never stops, right? And so it's like if we don't take that pause for something that's playful for us, we are just on this constant spin move, right? But if we can pause and say, all right, I'm going to take time out and go, you know, go for a run in the forest and recharge myself. Or, you know, I'm just trying to like think of different, you know, different examples, like take an improv class or, you know, go see like a comedy show, just like different things to get us out doing something new, doing something fun. You'd be surprised how much extra energy that actually infuses into your life. And then it spills over into the other areas as well.
Right. I think sometimes as moms, we feel mom guilt about taking time for ourselves and doing things that are fun or that we spend money on that we think takes away from our family. But I love what you're saying about think about the benefit of it. You are a more delightful person when you're doing something you enjoy, and that makes you a better mom. At least that's what I found in my own life.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, 100%. And because then you're bringing that energy, and then your kids see you investing in yourself, and they're not like, you know, there's this whole adulting and adulting is hard, like this whole thing, and like this whole hustle thing. Like, those are two narratives that I am just not going to take on those, right? Like, I don't want it to be adulting. I don't want my kids to be like, well, I better live it up as a kid because once I become adult, it kind of stinks, right? So I just show them how to make things fun and that it's important to me to make things playful in my own life, you know, and then I get to share the gift of play with other people. And so it's pretty fun to see that and just sort of like remain like, oh yeah, that's right, it does matter. And then like you might be listening and thinking, yeah, obviously play is fun. Obviously it's fun is fun, but I think once you experience it for yourself and suddenly you wake up excited, you know, or you have new stories to come home and talk to your family about, or your husband or your friends, or you're like, hey, let's go do this new thing. Like, let's try going snorkeling, or let's go, you know, just doing something new. It's this new spark. It brings back your spark of life and your sense of adventure.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us about your book. Why did you write it? Maybe tell us your the behind the scenes, like your journey to talking about play and creativity and why they're so important.
Yeah, okay. So my book is called Play Together, Games and Activities for the Whole Family to Boost Creativity, Connection, and Mindfulness. And it was born out of the pandemic, I honestly, is that it was Friday the 13th. I'm sitting at my kids' school, 2020, and I'm watching this assembly. My niece's story won this contest. It's being acted out live on stage. Like children's laughter is ringing through the airs. It's just this amazing moment. And then we're filing out and we get the word that schools are closing. And it was just such a like high to low moment. And I remember just thinking, gosh, everyone's going to be at home. Everyone's going to be stuck at home. And I thought to myself, I just felt really strong to like, what can I do? How can I make a difference? Like, and so I went home and like I prayed and I meditated and I did all the things. And the next morning I woke up with this idea to start this We Write the Story challenge where my kids and I posted a new game every day on my social media. And
That's
I was writing
awesome.
another book. And then all of a sudden, this like took on this whole life of its own. We got over 60 games. We partnered with people all around the world and we created these cool games. And, you know, we had a really good time, just my family and I playing. And then now it's being able to be shared with families and schools and groups and I don't know. I've always wanted to write a book. So it's just amazing. Sometimes I can't even believe it. It's so fun.
That's so awesome. I love that. Well, and I really feel like in the pandemic, because we were all at home and there was a lot of hard, right, in that. But I found in our family that we did go back to more play. I pulled puzzles out. We were doing puzzles. We were playing games, doing things that we felt too busy to do on the regular before that. And so I've tried now, we haven't done a puzzle in a while, but I try to keep like a deck of cards or the game Spot It. I keep those on our table where we eat every day, just on the little turntable so that we see them. And as we finish dinner, as we're waiting for dinner, we can pull those out. So that was kind of one of those things that I thought I want to incorporate more of this in our daily life. And so we've been doing that.
Yeah. And I love that example too, because it's a great example of what they call environmental design, where the game is literally in your eyesight. And so you're like setting yourself up in a way like, okay, this is important that we connect as a family. And so you're placing it in a spot where you're going to see it every day, right? And so I love that you enjoyed that, and then you made a habit out of it, and you put it in a way that's going to help you. So other people listening are like, okay, that's what works, right? Like they say, like keeping fresh fruit on your counters or, and you know, things like that. Like these are ways to help create an environment where making these choices of things that we want makes it easier. Yes. In our lives, you know, and I think it's tricky because we want to be doing all these activities and we want to be, you know, putting our kids in different things, but it's like, how do we make the space for what's important to us? Right. And so I think it's like, as we transitioned out of the stay home pandemic time into like more back to regular, now it's just like, whatever it is, like still being mindful of what is important to us.
Right.
So that we can be doing that. So then we don't look back and be like, yikes, what happened? You know?
Right.
it goes like my oldest son just started middle school, you know? So it's like, okay, like I can feel the passage of time. And that's why I'm like, well, we make an effort to connect. We make an effort to play. And then as time goes, I can be like, might be sad about the new thing, but I'd be like, well, I did the best I could. And like, I was intentional with my time and our effort.
Yeah, I think it's really easy. Like you're saying, our kids are involved in activities and we're shuttling them there. And then when we get home, sometimes the default is like, just watch TV as a family. But I think TV can be a fun and beneficial thing. But we then feel like we don't have time for play or for fun activities, when really we do. We just need to trade the time and invest it well.
Yeah. And like you said, making these small things like the games in the book, because I created it during the pandemic, they're all created with items we already have at home. So there's not any big setup. There's not any big cleanup, right? So it's like, it doesn't take a lot of effort, right? It's like, you just, hey, pull it out, flip to a page. Like you said, puzzles, one of the games. We were doing a lot of puzzles during the pandemic too, but one of the games we did was make your own puzzle. And I've never made my own puzzle before, right? Like we got out cardboard and then we drew on like a puzzle piece's design. You cut it out and, you know, so there's just like different and fun things you can do together. And when you do something new together, like that was one of our favorite pieces, is playing, doing something new on a regular basis. Like, oh, I've never done that before. That's fun. What did you like? What did you learn? And like watching the kids do certain things better than I did, I was like, they were so proud. They're like, what? You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Laura, I think I alluded to it earlier. You know, as moms, sometimes we feel too busy. We don't have enough time to play, or sometimes it's energy. We're just so tired and we don't have the energy to muster up to think about playing. So what tips would you give to moms who are feeling either of those things?
Yeah, I say, I understand 100%. I remember, especially when you have little kids or kids that aren't sleeping well, like you're up in the night and you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so dark, right? Like in this time of year right now, it's like so dark in the mornings and you're like, oh, so I totally understand. And the thing that's so interesting about this, and it's found like across leisure activities as well, but is that we think that it's going to take so much more energy out of us to do these things. But in the truth of it is, maybe it takes a little bit at the very onset, right? Like instead of just plopping on the couch and putting on a show, you might have to take a little more energy to, you know, make a plan or go somewhere. But then once you get there and you're engaging in it, you're actually lighting yourself up on a whole nother level, and you're actually generating so much more energy than you would have otherwise, right? So it's kind of like this misconception of our brain that we think that this thing will make us happy, but it doesn't really make us as happy as we think. But then we underestimate the importance or the factor that the other pieces will, and they take a little bit of effort, you know? And so I just say, let's try it, right? Like this is like the scientist in me back to like, let's make a, why am I spacing out on the word, right? What's the word? You know, when you make an experiment and you...
Oh, hypothesis.
Yes, a hypothesis. I can think of a hypothesis. Let's make a hypothesis and let's see what happens, right? Because like you think, oh, it's going to take more energy and effort. But, you know, like I share this example a lot, but before, a while back, I used to play pro beach tennis. And then I stopped playing. And then it came to this point where I had two kids and I started playing again. This was probably I don't know, 5 years ago or something, maybe longer now. And suddenly I am like training again. I'm working out. I'm doing sand sprints, all these things, like things that you would literally think would make you have less energy, right? Like working out a
Right.
ton and having little kids to manage. Honestly, I had more energy than before because I was living my true life. Like I was aligned with what was good for me. And I had that to spill over. And I know not everybody has the chance to like go pro again as a mom or do all these things, but that's why I just love sharing about it because maybe what you like to do is something small, like, you know, I don't know, like needlepoint or crochet or something that you're like, well, it's not that important or it really doesn't matter. But those, when you find yourself saying, oh, it's not that important, you know, like I shouldn't do that, like I really should take my kids, it's like pause, like put your hand on your heart and listen, what's important for me? What do I need to do where I could show up more for myself and then for my kids and let my kids see that showing up for yourself is something that we value in our family, right? Like I know this is like the perfectionist, like instead of having to be perfect, it's like what if we were just being our best, our true self, and how much energy that frees up rather than trying to force it all down or stop it or make it wrong or like I should do this or I shouldn't do that or I really want to do this but I don't know if I should, you know what I mean? All of that
Right.
energy that takes a lot, that's really draining.
Yeah.
I know firsthand, and I see it all the time with my clients, you know, is like lifting that and allowing yourself, even if it's a small space, you know, even if it's just a few minutes a day, or you know, you swap with your friends and hey, you watch my kids for this time and I watch your kids, like there's a lot of things you could do to free up some time and space, because in that time and space that you can be yourself, like that's where the magic starts to spin and brew, and that's where you're like, you just don't even know. Like one day you'll be doing that, and then the next day you'll be, you know, publishing your book that you've always wanted to publish, and getting to meet cool people and share these stories, or whatever your path is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I have one friend who she, when her kids were at home, she would get a babysitter and she loves to do brain puzzles like Sudoku and like different puzzles. Like she just loves that. So she would go and drop her kids at the babysitter. She would go sit at the park and like do those puzzle books for an hour or two. And I love that she did that. I just think it was something that fulfilled her. Maybe again, not that's not everybody's jam, but she invested the time in it and she saw the value of having that time carved out, spending it on something that rejuvenated her. And I just love that she got to do that. And one thing that I did is when back when I was a little girl, I was a dancer and I loved tap dancing. So a couple of years ago, my son was doing this all boys hip hop class and at the studio, and they decided to put on an adult tap class in the evenings. And I was so excited. I joined, I did it for the months that they had it. And it just brought me so much joy because, like you're saying, if I felt like it was true and authentic to who I was in a different season and something that I loved and enjoyed. So it was super fun to get to enjoy it later as an adult.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's another thing too, is like when your kids are at these board things, like look for the other adults. What are they doing? Right? Like get together with them, right? Or do something like when my son's in soccer, I'll go for a run. I'll run around the park and it's beautiful, right? It's just like, how can I use the time I have and, you know, make the connections? Because according to the research, the number one factor for overall well-being is just the quality of relationships that you're going to have in your life. And so that's a great opportunity to play together with your friends and play with your family and, you know, build these relationships. You don't need to have that, you know, the number isn't as much as important. It's just that taking that time to really connecting with yourself and with your family and nature and all the things. I love that you're tap dancing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I've taken a hiatus just because of some scheduling, but my kids again are in activities, but it's on my radar to get back to it at some
Well,
point.
and that's the thing is that there's going to be seasons, right? Like you're going to do that, and then all of a sudden you might be like, okay, I'm going to do something else. And then, you know, it doesn't have to be static and it doesn't have to be big, right? It could be something small you do at home. Like when I cook, I'm like kind of like a singer and a dancer. So I'll like put on music and I'll sing and dance when I'm cooking, or, you know, like the simpler things that you can fold into your regular everyday routine, the better. Because, you know, people are like, well, I love going on ski trips, but I can't go do that all the time. I'm like, that's okay, I get it, right? Like go for your big ski trip. But then what something that you can, fold into your regular day, your regular life.
I love that. Well, we've already been getting into this next question a little bit, but maybe we can share some more. But just examples of things that moms can do for their enjoyment or things too that they can do that they would enjoy with their kids. I think sometimes when I remember back, my kids would be wanting to play certain things and I would just be thinking, oh, I don't want to play that, kind of things
Candyland, like Candyland.
that.
No, shoots and ladders, shoots and ladders. That was the hard one. No, and I understand that completely. And so it's like I definitely talk about that in the book, but it's like, first of all, I always try to say yes to the kids sometimes when they want to do things that I don't want to do, because I want them to say yes to me when they don't want to do things. So I do that.
True.
Not always, right? Like, if you don't like something, you don't have to do it. But when it comes to, I mean, for playing with your kid, there's so many, like I said in my book, I have five different categories. So I have creativity, connection, mindfulness, kindness, and movement. So all the games are like in those different categories. So there's tons of things you can do with your family, like at home. But in terms of something that you could do for yourself, that I could go about that forever and ever, because there's like infinite amounts of things. But the questions that I would say, rather than some examples, would be like, kind of like you were saying, think back to when you were a kid. What did you like to do? Right? Like you said, you loved tap dancing. Like I loved tennis, and I loved like singing and acting and performing, so that's where like I can be cooking around and singing, and or like even like singing in the car or making funny videos to post on my social media. Like that stuff's fun for me, But like what you loved to do as a kid. And what about when you were like in middle school and high school? Then what did you like? What did you like as a young adult? And just think back to your life. And I actually have like a whole playlist planner. So if anyone wants like more depth of this question that can really help you, I do this at my talks and we go through it. And it's actually really fun. Like one mom was like, I remember I used to love watching TV on like in a handstand, like upside down. And I was like, that's amazing, right? Because that's not on my radar. And another mom's like, I loved playing piano. And so then she's like, okay, I can use headphones and I can practice piano when my babies are napping. And so it's like remembering these parts of you that you might have forgotten, right? Like I loved sitting in my room and listening to music and like talking with a friend or something. So it's like, okay, how can I recreate that? So you want to look for these clues from your past, and then you might be moved on. Like I loved Barbies when I was a kid. It's not like I'm going to sit and play Barbies. I have two boys, so unfortunately we do not play Barbies. We play a lot of men, but and I play with my niece, but like, okay, what does that mean? I love creating worlds and I love creativity. And so you could see how that might fuel my writing or like my author moms community that I lead. So it's like just thinking for, oh, how might that be something I could do now, right? And another good clue is, let's say you're like go looking through social media and you see other people doing something and you're kind of like, why did they get to do that? That could be a clue that that's something you want to do, right? Like,
True.
so like use that clue or like things that you're like, oh, like I know so many people are loving pickleball these days, like playing pickleball. And as a former tennis coach and player, I'm like, pickleball is great because it's a social, right? There's the relationship, it's the movement, but it's also a lower barrier for entry, right? So it's not as hard. And so there's tons of things, and just talk to your friends and see what they want to try and find some friend that likes to go along and try new things, and you might be surprised what you like.
Yeah, I love that. I think sometimes as moms, we just get stuck of like, oh, I have no idea what to do. So I love those questions to help you figure out for you. Because again, what I enjoy and what you enjoy, Laura, may be something that moms listening are like,
Completely.
no, thank you. So I
Right.
love just that personal reflection of what have you enjoyed in the past? What are you interested in now? And then I just want to give the encouragement of the fact that it's okay to be a beginner at things, right? That if
Yes.
you're trying something new, you're going to be a beginner and you're going to make mistakes or you're going to feel insecure about it. And that's okay. I think as perfectionist moms, we get this sense of like, I don't want to do anything that I could fail at. But no, like, let's
Yeah.
go out and be adventurous and resilient and try some new things.
And it's such a good way to connect with your kids, back to like relate to your kids too, right? So like I know I talk about this and I'm like, oh, I need to try something new. So a couple years ago I started an improv class. So I took that was a whole nother story, but like I had to gather like 10 women to do this class with me. It was so hard. I probably had to ask 100 ladies to get 10 people to say yes. But we did, and then suddenly we had to go perform live at like downtown at like a, the comedy show, and I'm is someone what? And I remember feeling like that beginners, like, oh my gosh, being nervous. And I thought, this is what everyone feels like. And I'm like, I need to step into this so I can show people that it's okay to be uncomfortable and try something new. It was so fun. I didn't do perfect, but I just was having so much fun. And like when you see people up on stage, and especially in improv, it's like if they're having fun, it doesn't even matter because you can sense they're having fun, right? But then, oh, and then for the kids see you doing something new, but also we don't do a lot of new things necessarily. So we forget and we're just like, oh, just do it to our kids. But then we're like, then we'd be like, oh yeah, I remember what that feels like. Oh, just go jump off the diving board. It's just so, so it's like we can be back in their situation and we can take that growth mindset where it's okay to just test out something. And then, if we go back to the definition of play, it's for the pure joy of it, right? It's not to do a good job. It's not to get somewhere or to earn something or to just, it's there's nothing. And how amazing is that? Like just to do something, just to do it. It's like we could use more of that, especially as moms, right? Like we're not doing it because we have to or this or that or 14 other things that are lined up on a puzzle piece. It's like do it for fun. And if it doesn't work, don't do it again or do it one more time and then decide,
Oh, I love that. Just the reminder of yes, the growth mindset and also doing it just for the enjoyment. I love that.
You stink. Oh well, it's kind of funny, right? Like my husband and I were like, we should do something. Like we'll do something new, right? So we decided we'll go snorkeling. We used to love snorkeling on vacations, but we're like, we don't do it. We live in San Diego, so there's like this famous La Jolla Cove is supposed to be great snorkeling. And we're like, why didn't we ever go there before? So we're like, okay, let's go. So we picked a day and we went, but we happened to pick a day where the water was particularly choppy. I'm like making a hand motion. You guys can't see that, but up and down as you can imagine, and the water was kind of cloudy and it was like in the moment, it was not that fun. Then we got out. I was maybe even seasick, which never really happens to me. Now we think about it and we laugh about it. We're like, remember that time we went snorkeling and you got like seasick and we barely saw anything and and it just like becomes a funny story. And those are just like your play history, your like the funny stories that you have in your family or your friends.
Yeah, I love that. Such great tips for us, Laura, and just the reminder that play is for us too, not just for our kids. So thank you for that.
Yeah, because we want our kids to grow up being able to play and not turn into robots too, right? Like we want them to be like, oh right, you don't just have to do. Like you get to be, you get to breathe. And that's where I know I'm skipping ahead here for one of your questions, but it's like this whole mindfulness piece, right? Like once I discovered the importance of meditation and practicing mindfulness, the opening that that gave me in my life was just massive. My husband be like, "Meditate, you should meditate, you should meditate." And I'm like, "What? I'm like an athletic go, like extrovert. I'm not gonna sit and do. What do you do? Nothing, But practicing that and cultivating those mindfulness skills, right? Like, it's a game changer. And so that's why it's so cool. That's why I love that I got to create these games and teaching these skills to my kids from such a young age, where you can take a step back and breathe and. Because life has challenges, right? I mean, it does.
And that word mindfulness, I feel like it's been a buzzword, and sometimes we're like, what does that really mean? But the more I learn about it, just realizing like being where you are and not having your mind in a thousand different places. It's just being where you are, being aware of where you are, and enjoying the moment. So.
Yeah, or even just like making no judgment over the moment, like, okay, here's what it is. And then your mind tries to like say, this is good, this is good, this is bad, this is bad. Or like, what if this happens? And there's this whole conversation. And the more you practice it, the more when these things do come up in your life, you can have a more of a equal or like equilibrium towards it. So you don't get pushed over into one way or the other so quickly, so that you can be a calm source for your family, right? Like you can be the one that says, okay, I get it. That was something, right? Like you can understand what your kids are going through. You might not agree with it. You might not have to be like, but you can allow them to feel their feelings because you allow yourself to feel your feelings. And like the feelings can pass. And so it's just this calm peacefulness. Like the waves are, they're gonna roll through. Emotions are gonna be clouds in the sky. They're gonna roll through. And stay grounded and stay, try to maintain your peace or at least get back to your peace. And that's where this like play and pause, it just sort of goes hand in hand. Like if you lost your play, then you just pause, make space.
That's great. Such great reminders, Laura. Well, like you mentioned, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves in the questions. So I'll just jump right into those that I ask at the end of every episode. So first one, what are you reading, watching, or listening to these days?
I just finished Pieces Every Step, and it's just actually, it's like a, I have it right here. It's like a mindfulness, the path of mindfulness. And he shares so many different tools and tricks and, you know, how to keep that calm within no matter what's going on, right? So I kind of read like a lot of books at a time. I have a lot of books with bookmarks, but I just actually finished that one. And then I'm reading one of my husband's favorite sci-fi books because he really loves sci-fi. And so I'm like, okay, this will be fun for us. Like we can talk about it and go back and forth. So I'm reading that. And what else am I reading? I'm reading in my book club, we're reading Growing Up in Public. And it's about kids and social media and all these pieces, like how to approach that. And about, you know, teaching this is something else I'm so passionate about is like teaching our kids the skills they need, like having the conversations. That's one thing I love about play for kids is you can use play to teach these important lessons. So it's not like lecturing your kids. I'm sure you guys have all had that experience when you're like talking to your kid and they're just like, whatever, mom, like I do not want to do that right now. And you're like, I don't really either, but we need to teach you these things, right? So if you can put it through this lens of play, it's just then it's like, oh yeah, they just learn it and it's not like the sit down moment.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So those are a couple of the books that I'm reading at the moment.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll link those in the show notes. Next question, what is a favorite product, service, or practice that makes your life easier?
Yeah, okay, so this one I was like, what is it? I had to like think about it for a little bit. And then I was like, duh, my favorite thing that I do is that I have the Calm app. I recommend it so
highly. Oh, I have
highly.
Heard of this. I have
the
heard
Calm
of
app
it.
Is amazing, okay, because I said, I kind of shared a little bit about that mindfulness or, you know, meditation, and my husband's like, you should do it, you should do it. I'm like, what? So for people that are like kind of like high energy or even just like you don't want to sit still, it's hard to quiet your mind, I highly recommend guided meditations, especially possibly a body scan meditation where you just go through and you know each part of your body because it's a good easing into meditation rather than just being like sit here and sit still and listen to your breath for 10 minutes or whatever, right? So like it guides you through it and basically it teaches you how to meditate through it. And I'm just like, I'm a competitive person. So it has a streak. It has a streak feature. So I think I've been doing it every day for like, I don't know, so many days. I should have looked at my stats so I could report on it, but it doesn't matter. It's that, right? Like it became a habit. It became a habit for me to that helps me to meditate every day. And I don't need to do use the app always, but there's so many topics. I could be like a commercial for them. Seriously, there's so many master classes. There's like this amazing LeBron James one where he talks about mental toughness. I love it for my kids. It has kids meditation. It has all kinds of tools, but it really is a really great and easy way to make meditation a habit and get it as a part of your life. Now it's just a part of my life. And I highly recommend it. So there's my Calm commercial.
Awesome. Well, I will link that. I have heard of it. So I'll link that in the show notes. So next question.
One thing about Calm too is they have, at least they did a while ago, they have like a really good Black Friday sale. So I could buy like a lifetime membership. So if you're thinking about it, you can get an extra good deal.
Yeah, good to know. And this episode is going to air like a month before Black Friday. So just keep that, that in mind, everybody.
That's what I thought.
Awesome. Next question. Again, I think we may have gotten into this a little bit, but what is your best soul or self-care tip for moms?
Yeah, well, I think I probably put both of them out there. It's the pause and the play, right? Yeah. So it's having fun for yourself and then taking that time to, you know, unwind and relax for yourself through your meditation or even just downtime. You know, I like play as self-care because I feel like self-care is I'm like, great, another thing I have to do. I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of everybody else. Right. But if it's like, oh, I can just do something playful or I can do something rejuvenating, you know, just eat starting small. Like I always say, starting small, carve something out for yourself.
Yeah, love that. Awesome. Next question. What is God teaching you in this season?
God is teaching me so many things, Andrea. It's like, you know, some seasons are just so much new to learn. But I think what I'm really learning is just being present to the moment, trusting myself, having faith that God is there and, he's taking care of us all. Even though sometimes we're like, that's what you're doing. That's what it looks like. It's like having faith in like a bigger picture and having faith to step forward and live our lives authentically and share our truths and our messages with other people, whatever it looks like, and being okay, trying something new, and just being like, I'm going to go for it and taking that pressure off. Right.
Yes.
Or at least temporarily alleviating it enough that you can move forward and enjoy the journey.
That's awesome. Love that.
What about you?
Oh, thank you. I always enjoy when someone returns
the
question.
Yeah, I know. All of a sudden I was like, these questions are going fast. I want to hear more from you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Well, I've shared with listeners over the past couple of months that I have been in a waiting season, just waiting for some things to happen, waiting, and just felt so long. But now I've really moved into, now I'm in a transition season and transitioning to full-time work and transitioning to just, some other changes and things. And so I'm really trying to focus on giving myself permission to transition. I think, as again, a recovering perfectionist, often I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in and like have a system and have a schedule and all of these things. And I think I've lived enough life to know that that's not always the best method. Sometimes the best method is actually just kind of living in it, being mindful, like you're talking about, just assessing what are the needs, what am I sensing, what am I seeing that I need to then go in and create a system for. So I'm really trying to just give myself some grace and some permission to figure it out as I go, to not have all the answers right from the get-go.
Yeah, that sounds good, right? Like just being like accepting of where you are and being open that you will get, like not even that you'll get there because there's nowhere to get. I'm trying to think of what I'm hearing. It's like, what does it feel like?
Yeah, I think it's just each day. Right now, I'm kind of taking each day, each week at a time and saying, okay, this is what this week looks like. Here's where I can fit this in, fit that in, taking, taking care of my house and grocery shopping and things that even before I was figuring out as well. Not every day look the same, not every week look the same. So yeah, just I feel like I'm maybe just coming up with a new rhythm rather. I like that word rhythm.
Ooh,
versus
I like the rhythm.
Because rhythm allows for some flexibility and some change versus sometimes a system or a strategy feels so rigid and that we can't have any flexibility. So I think I'm just trying to figure out my rhythm right now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that word too. I had one of my clients, that was one of her possibilities, was rhythmic bliss. Right. Ooh. So it was like, you don't have to be so regimented, but there's a little bit of a rhythm, but then you can have this enjoyment of the flow. Right. And like, as you learn, you can be really enjoying it and learning and being like almost like a quiet confidence, like I've got this, and I might not think I know, but I've got this. And it's like that faith and that that quiet confidence. I can really hear that, and I think that's really cool. I love it's like so interesting, just as we go through these changes, is like listening in and giving ourselves, like you said, the grace and the permission to live our lives in a way that feels good to us, and that we can try new things, that we can enter new seasons, and we can do it for ourselves with grace, and we can show our kids that we can do it, right? Because the things are always going to change.
Right. Yeah. And they're always watching us as we navigate things. And even though right now they may not have huge awareness or like a huge takeaway, I know that for me, when I look back at my childhood, like I see things that my parents were doing that now I have the takeaways of like, aha, or I just appreciate it and appreciate their example. So I think our kids will be that way too. As they grow older, they'll be like, oh, and especially if we really invest into play, they will remember, oh, I saw my mom playing. And then I think they'll naturally just kind of use us as a model for that and many other things.
Right. That's right. They watch us. That's why a while back I was like, you know what? I do all these emotional regulation things myself, but I don't tell them. I don't say like, hey, I'm going to stop and I'm pausing to take 3 breaths now. And then I finally was like, I'm going to start doing that. Right. So now like my kids are like, talk about emotional regulation. And it's like, it's so interesting because I think it's some of the most beneficial skills that we can have, is like, what do we do with big feelings and how do we handle them? And are we okay with them coming through, and teaching them it's okay for them to come through, but you don't have to be like so attached to them, like let them move through and, like notice where you feel them in your body. And so just telling them what I was doing instead of just doing it. Now I'm watching them, they learn so fast.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I think that's really great because I think when we don't know what to do with our emotions, then that's where the anxiety kicks in. And mm-hmm. like you said, I love how you're talking about like just the mind-body connection. Like that's really important for us as moms. And then also, again, to teach our kids, it's just great, great tools for them going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Laura, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much. Tell us, where can people connect with you and find your resources?
Sure. Yeah. You guys can check, say hi. I'm on my website, laurahaver.com, H-A-V-E-R. And then you can come say hi on Instagram. I'm at Laura M. Haver. I also have Author Mom. So if there's any writers or budding art like writers, creatives, even big readers, come free, join us. We meet once a month on Zoom. It's like a super fun community just to connect and support fellow writers.
Awesome. Well, thank you for those. I'll be sure to link all of those in the show notes so that listeners can find you easily. And again, Laura, thank you. This has been just such a pleasure.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And to everyone listening, I just want to say you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job no matter where you're at, and whatever it is you want is like, you know, just like appreciate, like pause for a moment and just appreciate yourself and like how much love you have for your family and for yourself. And, you know, like take it all in for a moment and just give yourself a pat on the back, right? It's just like, I don't think we pause enough to celebrate the little things. So I always like to take an opportunity, especially when I'm talking to moms, to say, you know, celebrate yourself.
Yeah, such great advice. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. So thanks for reminding us about that. Hey friend, can I ask you a big favor? Would you take 2 minutes right now to head over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review the podcast for me? All you have to do is search for The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering, scroll down, give it some stars, and write a short review. That's it. While you're there, could you also subscribe to the show? All of this means so much to me, and it will help other moms be able to find the podcast. Also, in a few weeks, I'll be doing a special Q&A episode, and I need your questions. You can find me on Instagram at Andrea Fortenberry and just DM me your questions. It can be about motherhood, faith, friendship, marriage, anything you want to ask me. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I'll catch you next time.